How do we break the habit of thinking about other people during sex? If you'd like answers to this, will you please watch this video and leave a like if you find anything that's helpful? Because if you're like me, getting through this and quitting this habit provides a lot of joy in intimacy, especially when it comes to sex. I struggled with this for years. I remember breaking up with an ex-girlfriend and feeling so bad about all those times that we had had sex and I was thinking about other girls and wishing she was another girl almost the entire time. I thought, after I rationalized it enough, that, well, maybe it's just her, that I just wasn't happy with her. What I found is this kept going. After the first or second time being with a girl, invariably I'd be thinking about other girls while I was with the girl at the present moment. I thought, okay, well, maybe just better and better girl. And finally, the girl of my dreams, perfect, everything wonderful, and this habit still persisted, and I felt so ashamed of it. I didn't know who I could talk to about it, and then there'd be things we'd be watching a TV show together. Someone would reference this in a TV show about thinking about other people during sex, and it was very awkward for me because my first instinct was to laugh really loud because I understood that and I desperately needed to get it out. But then I'm like, if I laugh too loud, she'll know I'm doing it, assuming she didn't already. Wow, this was just horribly complicated, and I felt like a disgusting person because I couldn't stop doing it. What we're talking about here is those compulsive, repeated, ongoing fantasies. I'm not talking about a passing thought here or there. What I'm talking about is that interaction, the sex, where you're not even really there. You're thinking about someone else a lot, or you're wishing who you're with was someone else, and you're using that often to help you achieve the best results in the present moment. We want to be free of that, because we get a lot better sex without it. I'm grateful today I'm free of thinking about other people during sex, and I have so much better sex because of it, and guess what? So does my wife. It makes a huge difference because I'm fully present for the interaction. I'm not sitting here wishing it was an ex-girlfriend I was with or another girl I just saw at the gym. It's so much nicer to just fully be with the person you're with. It makes a huge difference. It can completely transform the existing sexual relationship that you have. How do we get rid of this? First, it's to understand the problem, the challenge we're currently facing better. This is not an indication that there's something wrong with us or there's something bad with us. We gotta let all that morality stuff go because it gets in the way of making real changes. We are flexible, dynamic, immortal souls having a human experience. We simply tend to repeat through karma what we've done before. Until it's fully embraced, understood, we get help with it, then we can move forward. What does this mean on a practical basis? It means when we've been in the habit of fantasizing for our whole lives, before we even have sex, that habit does not just break because we start having sex. I fantasized about having sex with someone else for years before I actually did it. As early on as 6, 7 years old, I used to fantasize about just having a girlfriend and making out. And then it grew from there until 12 or 13 years later, I finally had real sex. And sure, the first time I was paying complete attention. The more times I'd be with the same girl, though, often just maybe the 3rd, 4th, 5th time, after that, the fantasies would come back into play. I would be sufficiently used to having real sex, and all of a sudden, fantasy came back in. Therefore, it's very common if you've had sex with just yourself for a lot of your life, it's very common to have that fantasy element whenever you're with someone else. Therefore, the first thing that makes the solution possible is identifying more of the root cause. What I've found is that the best way I'm free of fantasy during sex is to be free of fantasy during the rest of my waking life. I made a video about this, and I'm grateful that there's been such a positive response. Fantasy, as I define it, goes like this. Fantasy is based on discomfort and with the present moment, that things aren't good enough now, and we're escaping into our minds, making up some fantasy that usually will never happen. Man, I spent at least half my time in high school in that state, just wishing I was doing something else and fantasizing about all the other things I could do. To be clear, we aren't looking to eliminate our imagination. Imagination is a very powerful tool that we want to focus, that we want to use imagination. Imagination goes more like this. I'm very happy with how things are now. I'm consciously imagining what exactly I will create. I'm taking control of my own reality, and I'm imagining what I will bring into existence next. For example, I imagined this video and the matching blog post carefully before I did it. That uses the same space and attention that I used to spend fantasizing. The difference then is to focus the imagination on things we actually do want to happen, and we have the ability to get to work on making those things happen. Now, there's nothing wrong if you want a beautiful partner to be with to imagine that. The difference between imagination and fantasy, how we're talking about it, is fantasy, you're tending to just imagine you're already with a beautiful partner, and wouldn't life be better when that happens? And I hate how things are now. I'm bored. I'm annoyed. I don't want to be doing this. I'm escaping into this imagination, which we call fantasy. The difference in imagination would be to picture that beautiful, perfect partner you want, and then to imagine the entire process as to how you actually make that a reality. That's a huge difference. Just as I've done with this video, I imagine the exact process I'd make this a reality. I would go get my on-the-go blogging setup so I could film this in an actual bedroom instead of my studio, because I feel that's more powerful given the subject. I imagined getting the camera on and turning each. I imagined what I'd say in the video. I imagined how you'd feel and what a massive difference this would make in your life, and I'd never even know it. I might see a like on the video. I won't even get to know the difference this makes in your life when in 3 years you're free of fantasizing about sex. You haven't been doing it for years. You have the wonderful life of your dreams and you don't even remember that this was a part of it. I imagine that in the process of bringing this into a reality. If we want to stop fantasizing, we need conscious control of our imaginations. And we need to put them to work actually building the reality we want instead of hating the reality we're in and trying to use our imagination to get out of it. That is the quick summary of how to stop fantasizing, how to morph our imagination from escape to constructive and creation of the reality we do want. For example, my wife and I were imagining the next child we'd have, and we imagined the child into existence. We imagined all the things around it. The difference is we didn't fantasize. We didn't imagine that how much life would be better having a child. What helps with stopping fantasy is realizing on the deepest level, things will be just the same. Whatever life looks like, it might feel different. It might look different, but you really don't get to go anywhere. I'm grateful today to have this to share with you because this is a key first step with identifying that, okay, this is happening in my life. Honestly, if I'm putting myself in my past shoes, about 4 years ago, I identified this a habit and I said, I'm doing this. I don't like it and I don't want to do it anymore. What I've found is that ceasing doing it myself, that means any self-sex. The word masturbating, I just don't like it. We're just going to put it in there. I don't masturbate anymore because fantasy and masturbation to me go together. Now, maybe it's possible to just be so turned on by myself that I don't need to even think of anyone else while I'm doing it. But for me, that's not my experience. To me, doing it myself and fantasy have always went hand in hand, because the basic idea is, wouldn't this be better if? Let's pretend like this was happening. So the reality, I'm 4 years ago or 5 years ago now, whatever, I'm laying in my bed at night alone. Fantasy, there's a beautiful girl with me. And then let's pretend like what I'll get out of the fantasy. For me, I find not masturbating at all helps a lot with removing fantasy, because to me, those two are completely linked. And yet, any sexual stimulation of my body is linked to any other sexual stimulation. You see, I can get out of the fantasy habit of sex by stopping any participation in fantasy myself. Therefore, I do not masturbate because I want to fully enjoy and be present for the sex I'm having, and I want to feel really good about it. I don't want to feel any more shame or guilt that I'm a filthy, disgusting pervert because of all the fantasies I've had. And then to be having actual sex and bringing those same feelings derived from doing it myself. This makes a huge difference. And yet, I realize that may not be the perfect solution for everyone, that you might just be able to enjoy doing it yourself, or you might not be with anyone right now. I've found, though, it helps to really focus on needing someone else and to train your mind that sex is something we do with other people, that you need help with it, and not just any help, but help that you really are proud of, so to speak. You want to be with someone you really love and enjoy, or you're having fun with. That way, our minds and our bodies get trained that we have sex with someone else. We aren't doing it by ourselves and then pretending like someone else is around. Ultimately, this helps us to connect, because sex is a tool of intimacy and connection. It's supposed to be enjoyed. It's designed to have fun, to share it. And a lot of us are missing out on that. And I know a bunch of people who aren't with anyone. And one thing doing it ourselves does, it eliminates some of our need to go find someone else. It eliminates our need to connect. Because, hey, I can take care of this myself. Why go bother dealing with all the crap a partner will put me through? I've also found this helps me have a lot better behavior with my wife, because I know there's only one way I'm getting to have sex, and enjoying it at least. Because while theoretically other things are possible, the only thing I want is to have awesome sex and enjoy it. And therefore, there's only one person who can satisfy that desire for me. There's only one person who can help me with that. And that motivates good behavior. That motivates a good, honest, trusting, loving relationship, because I'm completely and totally dependent. Now, you might argue, well, you want more independence. I find that complete dependence in this respect helps a lot. And you might look at it as a weakness, and yet I'm grateful. I've been having regular sex now for 7 years, for the first time in my life, and it's really good. Having regular sex helps a lot with happiness, and having shame-free sex makes all the difference in the world. I am not able to have shame-free sex while I'm fantasizing about being with a different girl than I'm actually with. Once we take these practical tools and say, okay, I'm going to use my imagination constructively. I'm going to leave my body just for someone else to enjoy with me, essentially. Then it's simply a matter of accepting the thoughts we have in the moment, because I still occasionally have a passing thought that comes through my mind. The difference is like this: being in a subway or a train station and a train comes in, the difference in a passing thought versus a fantasy is the difference between standing and watching the train versus boarding it and going on the ride. Sure, I see beautiful women on a daily basis besides my wife. And then when I have sex with my wife, I'm usually so happy and excited to get to do it, given there's no other release, that is just completely overpowers all of my thoughts. Occasionally now, my mind still thinks a little bit, and a thought might cross my mind, Well, wouldn't it be nice if... Now, if I fight that thought, no, no, it wouldn't be nice. No, how dare you? You disgusting pervert. How dare you? If I fight that thought, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. What I do now, if a thought like that comes through, I just let it go, just like a train to train station. I watch it come, whoop, there it goes. I don't even respond to it or react to it. The thought just, wouldn't it be nice if? I kind of shrug my shoulders. Eh, maybe, probably not. I don't know. And the thought doesn't, it doesn't get any momentum. It doesn't have that shame, guilt, resentment. It doesn't have all that fuel to it. The thought just goes then, and it's back to no thoughts. Or a different thought, like, oh, my elbow's uncomfortable right now, or things like that. A lot of those thoughts and fantasies get built also out of fear. We're afraid that we're not going to be able to have good sex. Or we are still holding on to these guilt and shame. We're still holding on to these things that happened in the past. And sometimes for that, we need to get help from other people. I find it's helpful to talk with my wife as much as possible about all of my sex life as far as she wants to hear it. That means I've went through my most shameful things with my sex life, most of them with my wife. Now, I realize it's not appropriate for every single story or every single thing, and that's where I get other help with these things. This is where our relationships help us, because if you've done all the initial things I've said, and you're still running into those fantasies, or you find that, as I often do, a lot of emotions come up when I know I'm about to have sex. There's a lot of times my wife and I are about to have sex, and I end up crying or just being a little on edge. Getting what you want in life is often one of the most difficult things to deal with because it cuts out all that other mental fantasy stuff that things would be better if. When you're right about to get what you want, you know that there's nothing else, essentially, except now. This is exactly what I've wanted, this is what I want, and you're kind of fully present in this moment. So anything else that is lingering often will show up. What I've found is that talking with other people helps a lot for these things. And I talk about anyone that I feel safe talking with. For example, my sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous, between him and my wife, we've went through all my sexual stuff, all of it, all the worst things I feel ashamed of at various points in my life. I feel very normal and healthy now, which is a miracle because I used to feel like a disgusting pervert. And all I needed to do was just talk with someone about these ordinary and normal sexual things that so many of us do, like watching adult movies. You watch enough adult movies and have enough fantasies by yourself, and that single-handedly, without even doing anything with anyone else, is enough to leave you not feeling good about your own sex life. When you don't feel good about your body and your sex life, it means a bunch of fear comes up in the course of having sex. And all these weird things come up too. You can't have the lights on. You have to do it in certain places or certain positions. All these weird things come up because you don't feel very good about yourself. And I recognize those things myself. And I'm grateful today that I'm here to share with you. I've eliminated a ridiculous amount of these things. I love and enjoy sex better than I ever have before, which is a miracle. And part of the process of keeping it that way is helping you. Remembering all the people who helped me get to this point, especially in Alcoholics Anonymous, the men and some of the women, and especially the men who honestly shared their sex experience. Some of them in an open discussion meeting where anyone could walk in and listen to it. Those men especially, I felt drawn to. I felt I could actually tell the truth for the first time in my life about everything I'd seen and experienced. And then that frees me from thinking the truth about me is I'm some disgusting pervert. It's amazing what perspective from another person will do. When I told my grand sponsor for the first time about all the sexual stuff, and I told a rector at a Catholic or Episcopal Church. I told my sponsor now about it, and now I've got a whole book, Speaker Meeting 2017, with an entire hour-long chapter with all that stuff in there. I'm amazed when I talked about these things with other people, the other people didn't think they were that bad. And I'm grateful that I don't have any massive, horrible sexual burdens on me personally, and yet I realize, for those of us who have done things that we don't even know if we can tell absolutely anyone about them, they're so bad. Those of us that have done maybe less severe things, like for me, just watching a lot of adult movies, having a lot of fantasies, and just wrapping my, and being with a lot of different girls, often that I didn't know that well, or at all, then the way we heal and connect is for each of us to just share our truth. If we want a lot of the things we hate in life, the very worst things that happen sexually, to get better, we need to hear people's experience and stories who've actually done those things, instead of having them shut away and locked up and they can't share that. Because to me, hearing what other people have done helps me to feel safe sharing what I've done. And then when I do that, I'm free from having to do anything else that feels bad when it comes to sex. Even something as minor as having what some might call a harmless little fantasy while I'm having sex. It's not harmless because it stirs up all those feelings of not good enough, sex is gross, and you know, all pervert. It stirs all those. I used to hate the word, I can't even remember it now. There's a word I used to hate. Creepy. I used to hate creepy because creepy, that's how I felt about myself, that I was creepy, that I had these nasty sexual desires that were weird. And the more people I've talked to, the more they seem totally normal. And I'm grateful for that today. Therefore, I've talked a lot about this because talking with people is essential. If just applying some of the things I did before doesn't move the rock, so to speak, talking to other people helps a lot. Now, logically, it might not make sense. You might think, Jerry, how is going to do a confession with a priest or whatever, whoever you need to talk to, how is going to do that going to help me stop fantasizing while I'm having sex? It doesn't make exact logical sense, but I'll explain as best I can. When you don't feel good about who you are, when you have this deep down belief that your sex desires are something nasty and perverted or undesirable, then you need those fantasies to deal with the fear and all those negative feelings that come up when you do try and have sex with someone else and often by yourself. In fact, I found that doing sex by myself felt nasty. It felt weird. It didn't feel like I was doing the right thing. And that's just for me. I realize it may be different strokes for different folks, literally. You see, talking about these things with other people helps us to essentially reassimilate into the human race. I'm amazed the courageous emails I've received and contact from other people saying, I've went through this with my husband, or I've went through this with my partner. I'm amazed all the courageous stories I've heard as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous from other members about sexual things they've been through. I feel really good about my sex life and my past after hearing what everyone else has been through. And that's the idea. Because even for people among us who've done the worst of the worst, just hearing all the other worst of the worst that's been done, it makes it seem manageable on an individual level. And it helps us understand exactly how these things, like deviant sexual things that we hate, how they actually happen. They happen when we don't feel safe talking about our sex lives. I know several people. In Alcoholics Anonymous, there's this fifth step where you basically do what I'm showing here. You reveal the nature of your wrongs to yourself and God, which that's not a big deal, but then to another human being, that gets to be like, whoa, I'm going to tell someone about this stuff. I know several people using alcohol, just like I used to try and knock down that sexual shame and to try and knock down the whole numb, the whole pain of sex and not having sex and to numb all that. I know several people who weren't willing to go into that level of detail and sharing with the sex aspect of their lives, and they invariably went back to drinking. If you've got any other habits, a lot of negative habits and a lot of things in our lives we struggle with are sex-based. We get to work on the sex issues. A lot of other things, like maybe overeating, addictions, a ton of these other things we struggle with, we fix the sex issues. From little seemingly harmless fantasies up to whatever the biggest stuff is, when we fix that, we can often make everything else in our lives much easier. For example, I just have been trying last few days not having any more caffeine. That has felt really easy to me compared to not drinking. And the only way I'm able to stay sober today, the key to staying sober was to work on all this sex stuff. Because I remember that one of the things I hated about being sober is the sex thoughts and fantasies used to get way out of control in my mind. The longer I'd stay sober, it was as if they were on autopilot. One sex fantasy led to another sex fantasy, and there was just constant fear that I was going to act out on some of these sex fantasies. And thank God that working with and talking to and helping other people has burst that whole fantasy bubble in my mind now. It leaves me then with a strong awareness whenever that first thought comes. And whenever I don't immediately just let it go, but I oh yeah, that's interesting. Let's think about that. I get this, whoa, like I'm playing with fire sensation. Like this is something dangerous I'm doing to be engaging in some fantasy like this. And that is a healthy, normal reaction to it. That allows me to just put it down. It's not that anything we're going to do is ever going to completely clear a stray thought from coming through. What we can do with all the things I've shared here is when the stray thoughts do come through, we're prepared to let them go, and we're prepared to pay attention and notice whenever one of them kind of snags a hold of us and starts dragging along. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, yeah, she's really hot. Oh, whoa. Here, I don't want to go on that ride right now. I'm sorry I boarded that train. I'm getting right off that. We're going to let that go. And to see that having sex desires is a part of a healthy, normal human being. We're here to enjoy our sex desires. We're here to have fun with them. Our sex desires are a very powerful tool to connect and have intimacy with other human beings. At the same time, our sex desires can get us into hell, especially when we've had things happen to us where someone else had an inappropriate use of and behavior of their sexual desires on us. I talk more about that in my Speaker Meeting 2017 book, where I go into how all these things happen. The fact is, if something's already happened, there's nothing we can do about that itself. What we can do is use that as an educational experience and a tool to help others. What's happened to me in my past with my sexuality is a tool that I have to help you now. I'm grateful that I have this experience to share. Because you see, if my sex life had just been really smooth, I'd never had any fantasies, then guess what? I would have a hard time understanding where you're coming from. Where I'm imagining you've got this deep into here. You're probably pretty deep into struggling with not wanting to fantasize during sex. And then finding that it doesn't matter if you want to stop doing it or not. That your mind will continue doing it even if you've decided I'm going to stop this, I don't like it. Like I talked about with my ex-girlfriend, I broke up with her. I said I'm never going to fantasize about being with another girl while I'm with the current one. And guess what? I don't know if it was the next girl or the one after it, but it happened again almost right away. And I didn't even realize it for years. I was so used to it. Same thing with my drinking. I swore a bunch of times. I swore to God. I swore to my wife. I swore, told all my friends I'm getting sober. And then a day'd come where I'd change my mind. Or where I'd forget the reasons I had tried to stay sober before. All I'd remember was what I liked about it. With the sex fantasies, it's the exact same basic dynamic. all right, I'm never doing this again. I felt bad about it. Then all of a sudden, you're lonely one night. Not sure what to do. You were going to go out with someone. They didn't call you back. F them. This whole world's stupid. I need a distraction. Well, I know what I... Well, let's imagine what things would have been like had things went good. Oh, yeah. All right. I can take care of this myself. I don't need them. That's what we're looking out for. That's what we're preparing. That's what we can do to help each other. I'm grateful today that I have a wonderful sex life for the first time ever. These last few years, my sex life, and hopefully my wife's, has been amazing. I've enjoyed the sex I've had. I've been present for it instead of thinking about where else I might be. And every time we have sex, it feels so much different. It's different every time because I'm appreciating all the little details of it. And then it's very easy to have great sex. When I'm fantasizing, it's hard to have great sex because I'm not really paying attention to what I'm doing in the moment. I'm kind of on autopilot. It's as if my body's having sex and I'm missing out on it. That's why I've shared all this with you today, because I can comprehend what a huge difference this can make for you today. I feel obligated. In fact, you might have looked at me and looked like I was kind of depressed or sad before I started talking about this. And this is how I get so much energy, imagining what a huge difference this can make in your life. I'm grateful all the men and courageous women at AA had the courage to share so many unbelievable things right out in open discussion meetings and talking with me person to person, that now I've got a healthy perspective on sex. It's not something horrible that some disgusting need my body has. It's not something filthy I need to get taken care of. It's not something that I'm better off just doing myself. It is something that is an amazing opportunity to have fun and love and enjoy life and connect and build deeper relationships with globally, collectively, other human beings, me personally, with my wife. And with not doing it myself even, just the energy I get from focusing just on my wife is amazing. I go through my day with very few sexual thoughts. I often go through a day with hardly any sexual thoughts. And yet, when my wife is ready to do it, then I'm ready. My sex drive then is for me now to use responsibly. It's really nice. If you've been thinking tons of sexual thoughts your whole memorable life, and then your mind is suddenly freed up to think about other things, you wouldn't believe how much you can do with that processing power. I used to have sexual thoughts. I read some study that said a man thinks about sex every 7 seconds or so. That's not true. It differs based on every single man, just the same as women. And while men often do seem to think more about sex, the amount of thinking about sex does not have to relate specifically to some life circumstance. When I was 18 and I was single, I endlessly thought about and fantasized about sex, even though I wasn't having it. Now, at 34 years old, I have a very strong sex drive still. My sex drive is just as strong as 18 years old. My body is up for having sex several times a day, every day. Now, my wife is not interested in doing that. Every few days, I'm able now to focus all of my energy on that one opportunity. It's the difference if you've listened or read Harry Potter, like the books behind me. It's like Lord Voldemort having his soul split all over the place and not even knowing what different parts of his soul are doing. My sex energy now is focused, and that allows me to have my mind freed up to imagine different things. I've got a limited amount of thinking time each day, per se. In the same amount of time, I can either have some essentially useless sex fantasy that hurts me, like I did for all of high school, lots of college, and pretty much most of my adult life until a few years ago, or I can have my thoughts freed up to imagine anything I want to. This has been one of those huge things that's helped my business. I've got time to imagine how I can really help someone with my business online because I'm not thinking about some sex fantasy all day. And yet, it doesn't mean my sex drive has been incapacitated. It means it's actually balanced. When it's ready, oh man, when all the energy comes out at once, I can barely think about anything else. It's so exciting. All the energy is still there. And I get excited, which it blows me away. I get excited about it like I'm still 18. I know if I had even a chance to have sex at 18, that consumed my entire mind. Now, the problem is it consumed my mind. If I had a date Friday, it consumed my mind the whole week until Friday. Now, and yet, what I noticed when I would be so happy and excited, yes, we're going to do this. And then the older I got and the more sex I had, it started to be more ordinary. I wouldn't even think about it or care about it. But, oh, might get to have sex tonight. Oh, that's great. And I'd be still in fantasies. But now I get so excited and it has that maximum fun back, which is really nice. And I think this is possible for anyone. I don't care what you've been through before. I don't care how horrible your memories are of the past. In fact, the worst memories you have of the past, you might argue you've got more valuable tools out of those. There's some things I haven't experienced, at least in this lifetime, that I just am not likely to be able to offer very good help to someone else on because I haven't been through them. I have a lot of things that I just can't make videos on because I haven't been through them. This one, I've been through it and I can make a video that can help a lot, which can turn into a blog post that can help a lot. The things you've got are a unique opportunity to help other people with. Thank you very much. I think I've said enough on this now. This is one of those things in life when we get to work on it and we get help with it and we're honest. It's important in all this stuff to be honest, even if it makes us sound bad. I've called my sponsor and I'm not completely free of sexual fantasies. No, you know what motivates me? When a bunch of sex thoughts start snowballing into a fantasy, I tell on myself. I'll call my sponsor up and say, all right, you know, listen, I've been having a lot of sexual thoughts about this girl, and I'm not sure what's going on with it, and I just thought I'd tell you about it. You see, what that does, it takes the mind's desire and ability to operate in secrecy away. If I'm thinking about something, I know I'm accountable to talk about it now, and I'll tell you what, I don't want to talk about the kinds of stuff I used to think about. That helps me today when I start thinking about something like, do I want to talk about this with anyone? Nope. All right, we're going to drop it. I'm not going to think about that anymore. Not interested in talking about this with anyone else. And one of the coolest things I've ever done, one of the things that's made the biggest difference after years of fantasizing and having sexual thoughts, for the first time, and fairly recently, I talked with one of the objects of those sex thoughts and fantasies without the ability to satisfy it. I'd never done that before. I'd never just honestly laid it out and said, you know what, I've been having a lot of sexual thoughts about you. It doesn't mean that I have any intention on having sex with you. I'm telling you this because it's the truth. I'm telling you this because I need to get this out. I'm telling you this because I need help with it. Now, obviously, if you're fantasizing about some girl in class that you don't know and haven't talked to before, I wouldn't recommend just coming out with that first thing. That said, you never know. I trust your intuition. For me, this naturally happened with the first close, attractive girl that I ever was friends with in my entire life. As an adult, I'd never once been friends with an attractive girl because if I couldn't have sex with her, then it just ruined the whole thing with me. And therefore, I never once was able to share with someone about the existence of those fantasies in my mind and have it be just purely shared in a platonic relationship. not used as a means to try and make those a reality. The amazing revelation I got back from the girl was that it didn't bother her that I had those thoughts, especially since I'd made it very clear that I have no interest in taking any action on them. I'm just telling you this because I need to, because it's the truth. One day, she asked me what I was thinking about, and I ended up lying. Because the truth was, I'd been having a lot of sexual thoughts about her, and when she said, "What are you thinking about?" I lied. And then the next time I saw her, I felt bad about it. I said, I lied to you, and I don't feel good about that. And I did it out of habit, and I realized I need to tell you the truth about this. I need to tell you something, and it's just to tell you it, just to get it out there, just to be honest, not for any kind of action or follow-up in regards to what I'm saying. And the amazing thing is, as soon as I did that, the amount of sex thoughts, which had already been reduced, have went to almost zero now, because I've got the idea in my head now that a lot of the people I might fantasize about sexually, it doesn't even bother them. And on some level, I thought it was bothering people that I was doing something wrong to have a sexual thought about anyone besides whoever I was with. Without that shame behind it, that feeling like I'm having these thoughts because I'm a bad person. These thoughts are proof that I'm a pervert. Or these thoughts are proof I'm not a loyal husband. These thoughts are proof I can't be faithful. When I realize these thoughts are fairly normal, I've talked with my wife about this same thing as well, about, do you have sexual thoughts very often? And she's like, no, I don't think about that very often. And that has helped us to connect too, because my wife exists in a world that I'm now in, but I wasn't in before, where I don't think about sex a whole lot. And when my wife goes without it for a little while, it's not as big of a deal to her, so to speak, when she understands that the longer I go without it, my body starts to look at it like some kind of life and death thing. Like, oh my God, you know, we haven't tried to procreate lately. Our genes, we might totally die out quick. Whoever's near, just like my brain has some kind of like reptile programming, like this is a life and death emergency that needs to urgently be handled. And the more I talked about that with my wife and with my friend who's a girl, and to see that that's not the same programming they have. And that helps my wife to better understand that, hey, this is kind of the unique pain I have as a man. And I'm sure there's women that have it, men that don't. But for me, this seems to be kind of those normal pains of being a man, where it's kind of obvious for me to see a lot of the pains my wife has as a woman. And I feel better now, like this being a man, these are kind of normal pains that after a certain time not having sex, the brain goes into life emergency procreation necessary. You know, anyone who's nearby will work, you know, and it's like, wait a minute, that's okay. It's okay. It's not something horrible to be ashamed of. In fact, you could say by choosing to incarnate as a man, I signed up for this. The same way you might say choosing to incarnate as a woman signed you up for the possibility of having kids and all the things that go with that. That has also helped me a ton with the fantasies, to actually be able to express the fantasies honestly in a platonic environment. I'm glad I remembered. I almost forgot that. That is very powerful, and I recommend that towards the end. Once the rest of the things I shared before, once you fully went through those, and the universe will tend to put the right person in your life for this. When you trust your attraction, so to speak. I know after the one friend I had where I live here, I felt as soon as I met this girl in a work context, I had a very strong attraction to her, like as, you know, as friends. And there was a very strong sexual attraction there as well. And for the first time in my life, I was able to be friends despite that sexual attraction and without acting out on it. And to me, that seems like a miracle. You see, when I was ready for that learning experience, it was put directly in front of me. As soon as I'd done all the other work I described before, that learning experience, that friendship was put directly in front of me. And I'm so grateful for that today because I've learned so much out of it. I'm sure the opportunity was there before for me to have a friend that's a girl who is attractive and near my age. I'd never been ready for that learning experience. I'd never got to have that opportunity before. That's what's so exciting to me to share this with you, is that you might be opening up that same kind of thing and experience connecting and vulnerability and honesty with another person. It's awesome. And especially if you're in a situation like me, where you do have a partner, you do have the chance to have regular sex, to be able to make the most of it, because it's amazing how fast things seem to go by. It seems like just a little while ago, I was a child being raised by a couple parents. Now I'm the dad. I'm the man of the house now, which seems crazy. It's just a little while, I was an irresponsible teenager, fantasizing and frustrated about sex all the time. Now I have a beautiful, perfect partner I'm with, who we have regular sex. It's really good. I've had the chance to work on and overcome all of my sex baggage that I accumulated before we even got together, and then didn't work on much while we were first together. And that is all possible today. I'm imagining the amazing sex life you can have, because we need more people on this earth having an amazing sex life. This earth is filled with miserable, sexually frustrated people who take it out in anger, car accidents, and murder. We need as many people as possible who have wonderful, healthy, happy sex lives and have the courage to open up and tell the truth about them to the people around them, so that we can spread this thing, that we can spread happy, amazing, healthy, shame-free sex. That's the bigger picture, that you've made it all the way in. It might provide a really strong motivation that you have the ability to help so many other people have a better sex life. And helping others is really helping ourselves. I feel so good all day, every day, except some occasional days or moments where I just can't believe I incarnated in this filthy human form. And it's all disgusting. We just need to be wiped off the planet. Most of the time, I'm really happy. Because I experience all that love and joy, all that help that I give out to you, I get to feel good from it. Thank you very much for getting all the way to the end of this. I love you. You're awesome. That's why I've shared this. If you found anything helpful in here, will you please leave a like on the YouTube video? Because you'll feel good doing that little tiny action that helps a lot. Your like on this video is enough to help more people find it. And the more people that find it, we might get some more miracles of transformation into loving, happy, healthy, sexual human beings who are enjoying sex instead of all the other awful stuff that happens with it. If you want to participate in a discussion, I put these on my website as blog posts, and also on YouTube. We have all the comments and discussion happen on YouTube, because every comment helps a video rank higher, and you might be able to help someone else in the comment. You might have an experience different from mine that you can help and connect with someone else in the comments. Who knows? Your next partner might be lurking in the comments. If you'd like more videos like this, will you please subscribe? Because this has been another episode of my Happier People podcast. I do these as often as I can for all the reasons I've already shared. Thank you. And I'll hope to see you again on another video.